You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
Please be mindful of our prayer list and those who are on it. I've just been told a little earlier that Sister Rima's really going through something. So please keep her in your prayers as well. She's having some health issues. And we're just asking the Lord to do what needs to be done in regard to her life. And I know she wants to be here, but she's unable right now. So we'll keep her in our prayers and see what the Lord will do with that. Guys, as the Lord allows, we're back, of course, in our study in this great book, of 1 Peter. And by way of review, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll begin my reading at verse 20, as it says in your bulletin, and that should be page 1056, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, I'll begin my reading. And I'll end at verse 20. And again, page 1056 should be the page number. We were given some instructions by Peter, and he was given instructions to this church and given it to us as well. And he says in verse 17, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 17, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God. And of course, he's talking about reverencing God here. And he says, honor the king. And he's speaking about there those who are in authority. And a lot of times we get some kings or presidents or mayors or governors who aren't very good. But he says, honor them. And we're more honoring the position than we are the man, as God has them there for his purpose. And whatever needs to be done in regard to discipline, he's going to take care of them. Even some things that we don't know, God knows. And indeed, they're there because of him. Verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also, it says, to the froward. And look, he's talking about those that it could be your boss, it could be your supervisor, somebody who's in authority over you. And some of them are good, and we know there are some, we've had some real good bosses, real good supervisors, and some are not so good. And you really don't want to listen to them, don't want to hear them. But he said we're to do good to them as well. And listen, just whatever the issue is, give it to the Lord. But as long as they're giving us instruction that does not go against biblical principles, we're to honor them as well. He goes on and tells us why. And the reason, he says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy, it says, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And look, there's times when we do suffer wrongfully. There are times when we have bosses that are over us that aren't doing right by us. But guys, wherever we are, and Frank just kind of brought that to our attention in regard to us being on duty 24/7, that we're not just serving people, but we're serving a great God, and we're to do unto him, and others are blessed because we're doing unto him. Verse 20 says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted, in other words, punished for your faults, ye take it patiently. And by the way, if you are doing wrong, you should be punished and you should take it patiently. He says, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. He says, this is acceptable with God. And guys, keep in mind, as Peter's writing this, he's writing to a church that's under severe persecution. They're going through some things. And we already know the world don't like them, no way. And the rank and file doesn't like them. The leadership don't like them. And at this time, there was a king by the name of Nero who was in power. And that emperor, he was real cruel. And he was doing some things that he shouldn't have done, some sinful things, even hurting his own community. And when the community was rising up and coming against him, he put all the blame on the Christians. And look, they already didn't like him. And they started not liking him even that much more. So as he's writing to these that are going through, He's writing to us as well in the time where we are, and we're going through some things, and we need to keep our eyes on the one who is the prize, and that is Jesus the Christ. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I preach around this sermon series, Salvation is of the Lord. And Father, as we go forward in this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless as you see fit. And Father God, that you would hide me behind your cross. And Father, allow what I say to be words that you have given for this congregation. Father, there'll be some that are going through here in this time. And Father, even for our sick and infirm, that you would touch and that you would bless and that you would minister in the name of Jesus Christ as we pray in his name alone. Amen and amen. Give me 1 second. I need to make a switch, a big change, real quick.
Pay no attention to the empty screen. Of course, you would have it right now. You might have to jump up and sing a song or something.
He said, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Quick switch. Guys, as it says in your bulletin, we're going to go back to verse 20 of the second chapter of Peter. And he reads there, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
And he says here, for what glory is it when ye be buffeted? And again, when you are punished for your faults, ye take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. He says, this is acceptable with God. And he goes on, and he's speaking about as believers, for hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And look, we know that Christ did no wrong while he was on earth. The only thing he actually did was tell the truth. And listen, in his time, and actually in our time, nobody likes to hear the truth. Especially if it's messing with them or right in their kitchen or addressing something that they're doing that is wrong. They don't want to hear it. And we're going to go through just like our Savior went through. It says in verse 22, who did no sin, again speaking about Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And that word guile simply means deceit. And we know there's nothing sinful about Christ. But man, I tell you, when truth hits you in your face or steps on your shoes, it doesn't always feel good. And it's a good thing to acknowledge it as true and to be obedient to it. But when you don't have the Spirit living in you, when you don't know God, you don't want to hear the truth. He says in verse 23, who when he was reviled, again speaking about Christ, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. And look, all of Christ's life here on earth, he always said through his earthly ministry, I have come to do the work of him who has sent me. And his Father sent him. And regardless of what was going to go down, regardless of what was going to happen, he was going to be obedient to him. And guys, by the way, we're Christians. We belong to Christ. And we're to be obedient to him as well. He goes on in verse 24, who his own self, it says, bear our sins in his body, and we know he did that. It says on the tree that we, being dead to sins, and by the way, we should be dead to sins. We should not wake that body back up to the area of sin. It says should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye are healed. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. And look, he was beaten with many stripes on occasions almost where he was not recognizable. And it wasn't for his sin. And we take it personally. It was for my sin. And by the way, it was for your sin as well. So that we now, from God's perspective, can be seen as having no sin because of the stripes that Christ did and took for us. He says in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were, and I love the word were, he's saying past tense, for ye were as sheep going astray. And he concludes that we're right now, he says, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And he's talking about Christ, where before we was estranged from God, we were away in a chasm between us and God. And that chasm was called sin, and Christ took stripes, took beatings, took whippings, all the way unto death, and even a burial, but was raised. And because of that, now we were in sin, but now we're children of his light. He goes on in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. And though it appears he's switching gears, he's still talking about obedience, and he's talking about his God's pecking order. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And take note, it says your own husband, not just any man, but your own husbands. And he's talking about being submissive. He's talking about willingly being submissive. And look, not submissive to doing sin, not submissive to being abused, but being submissive in regard to him being the preacher or the pastor of your home and giving you godly counsel and even direction as he directs his family. He says, likewise, verse 1, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. It says that any obey not the word. And guys, by the way, here he's talking about husbands that are unsaved. And there are many situations where that happens. Sometimes folk walk into it, their eyes are open, and they think, well, I know he doesn't know the Lord, but I can change him. And I hear that sometimes, but it generally, in fact, it never happens. Only God can change somebody. Or maybe you were both unsaved, and then the wife got saved, and she's still with his husband that unsaved. And he's saying that, look, you can still win them, but I'll win them through you. It says that they may, in fact, let me start at verse 1 again. It says, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that they may, that if, it says, any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And guys, take note, he's talking about an unequally yoked marriage where one's saved and one is not. Here he's speaking or highlighting the wives. And what he is saying, that you can win them without the word. Now, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he's not so much talking about what the wife is saying to the husband, but how she is living in front of the husband, that she's walking as a godly wife, that she's doing her wifely duties, that she's doing what she's supposed to be doing in regard to giving a due benevolence as unto the Lord. And he's saying that you can win him that way. I know some families and some wives that are married to unbelievers. And what they would do, they would take and put, they'd make a husband's wife a lunch every day. And they would take and put a track in there every day, figuring, we're going to get him this way. And we're going to bombard him with the truth. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your chaste behavior. He's talking about how you carry yourself, how you're being a godly wife and being a wife that God is proud of, or a woman that God is proud of. And he's saying your actions will speak louder than your words. And by the way, I've seen that happen as well. I've seen women stay with guys that weren't right. They weren't beating them. They weren't causing them issues. And you're going to get ready to talk about that in a minute. But their lives were lived in such a way that ultimately the Lord blessed the husband into salvation as well. He goes on and even tells them how. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation, and he's talking about your pure or your faithful conversation, and it says, coupled with fear, and listen, not trembling at them or fearful of them, but fearful or reverencing of God. And for that sake, that's why you're there. That's why you're treating them nice. That's why you're treating or conducting yourselves as a godly wife in front of them. And listen, godly conversation because of the one we serve, and we're reverencing him as well. And he goes on and he begins to speak. And by the way, verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And verse 3 he says, who's adorning. And he's actually talking about the wife. Who's adorning? Let it not be, it said, that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. And he's talking about dressing worldly is what he's talking about. If you want to plait your hair, that's fine. But during that time, a lot of times the worldly women and even some of the prostitutes, they would wear gold. They would plait gold in their hair. They wanted to be seen. They were wearing the latest fashion. They were showing off their bodies. And he's saying, no, not worldly, but godly and chaste. Not that you have to wear sackcloth and ashes. That's not what he's saying. You can dress nice, but you don't have to necessarily dress the way of the world or dress provocatively. Amen? He goes on, verse 4. But let it be, it says, the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And listen, God sees it as a great price. And look, if we do or wives do as unto the Lord and they go to please him, is something going to happen? It's going to happen. There's a verse in Proverbs 16 and 7, and it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make it even his enemies be at peace with him. And listen, if you're in an unequally yoked situation, if you're saved and your spouse is not saved, then in reality, he's your enemy from the spiritual. But man, when you walk and work and live to please the Lord, even those that don't like you, even some that hate you, they're going to be at peace with you, not because of you, but because of the God that you serve. And in reality, that's all he's saying. In verse 4 again, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight, which is in the sight of God, a great price. There was a place I worked one time, and this has happened a few times, man. Sometimes you'll see somebody, and you look at them, and you know that they're different. It could be a man or a woman. And there's something different, man, because when God or Christ is on the inside, it actually shows on the outside, and it can make somebody beautiful. I don't care what they're wearing, because they are citizens or servants of the Most High God through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit living inside of you is going to show on the outside, even from the physical. There's something special, something different, something beautiful about a Christian that loves the Lord, and it shows in how they conduct themselves. He says in verse 5, after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in subjection, it says, unto their own husbands. And again, under their authority, as God would have it set up to be that way. He's not a taskmaster. He's not whipping on you. He's not beating on you. And by the way, he's not better than you. But that's God's pecking order. And for a woman to willingly come under a man that way can only be done through Christ. He says in verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. And by the way, Abraham was the father of faith. Indeed, she was the mother of faith. It says, as long as you do well. And he ends verse 6. Look what he says. And are not afraid with any amazement. And listen, what he's saying is that if you can stay there and live in peace, he's not telling you to take a whipping. If you got an abusive husband, you need to get out of there. And God would honor that as well. But he's saying that if you can live there in peace, you're not being abused, you're not pushed or being forced to do and live sinfully. He's saying it's a good thing to stay there, live godly, let Christ shine through you. And as long as he's not laying hands on you in regard to whippings, that it's going to work out. And God's going to honor that one way, shape, or form. He says in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, and by the way, a lot of times when I get to this verse, and there's a bunch of husbands and wives. When you get to this part, or if you're talking about the wives, the husbands perk up. And then when you start talking about the husbands, the wives generally perk up because they want to hear what God has to say about them as well. He says, likewise, ye husbands, he says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being, it says, heirs together of the grace of life. And look, what he's saying is that, well, first and foremost, he says that we're to live with our wives according to knowledge. Biblical knowledge, yes. But we also need to know our wives. Guys, the only way I can know this book is to read it and study it. I work on old cars. The only way I know how to work on old cars is because I've read about them and I study them and I've learned them. The only way I can know my wife is to study her and to know her ways, her comings in and her goings out. There were times in our earlier marriage, I mean, after we came out of living in sin, and I never actually studied my wife. I kind of categorized women, well, they're this way or that way, but God had me to learn my particular wife and how she was bent and how she was put together. And in many cases, it seemed like we would be going along real good. And then all of a sudden I would say, hey, how you doing? A joke with her. And she would snap back at me. I'm like, well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. And I noticed that this would happen. And after a while, she helped me with that. And she said, you need to know that at certain times of the month, I'm not always up and upbeat and raring to go. And I don't always feel like joking. And she said toward the end of the month or the beginning of the month that sometimes I'm tired, more tired than I am at other times. So if I would say something to her, and maybe she gave me a snappy answer, I would recognize that what time of the month it was. I would make that part of my ministry toward her. And so it helped me to know how to minister to her, that at certain times and certain seasons, she was not always the same. But I had to learn that. I didn't know that. I thought it was me doing something. And it probably was. But besides the point, I needed to learn her bent and how she was. And guys, what I have found that over the years, we've been together a long time. And the Bible said the two have become one. That I take note that if she's dragging for whatever reason a certain time, I'm dragging as well. Not as bad, but I am. Sometimes I'm irritable for no particular reason because the two really have become one. And I take note of that, and I love that because God has truly made us one vessel. But he said that we're to study our wives, that we should know them. In fact, verse 7 said, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them. In other words, live with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. And listen, I had to learn that as well. And not, yes, men are generally physically stronger, but wives or women most times will have more emotional or deal more with their emotions than men do. I mean, I'll see something and maybe a movie, and I look, I say, hell yeah, that's something. And I'm going on in my way. But maybe my wife is lingering there and it's actually bothering her. And I used to say to myself, what's wrong with her? But they dealing from a different place than men. They're not men. They were made that way. They were made to be emotional. They were made to be more caring. Sometimes she'll say, did you call your brother this month? And I said, nah, I didn't call him. I'll get around. You need to call me. I mean, she really wants me to call him. Or did you wish him a happy birthday? Women deal more from that than what men does. And I love that. Because she keeps me straight that way. Did you send your sister a birthday card? Did you do this? Did you do that? And it makes me look good because somebody will say, oh man, thank you for the card. In reality, if she didn't tell me, I probably would have never sent it. I'm not as sensitive that way, and they are sensitive, but God had made them that way and made us this way. And when we come together, it makes one whole marriage or one whole person. It says likewise, verse 7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as unto heir or being heirs together of the grace of life. And he says at the very end of verse 7, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, I need to know my wife's ins and outs. I need to know her ups and downs. I need to know how she is. And listen, there are times when I know she's upset, and I haven't even said that. I can just see it. I can sense it. And God has given me that as well. And if you're married, he's given that to you. And you need to learn about these things. And Frank, keeps you out of a lot of trouble, too. If you, he said, okay. Yeah, as you learn these things, and we shouldn't, and he said that your prayers be not hindered. And look, if I'm dealing with my wife in ignorance, I don't need my prayers hindered. There are a lot of things that can hinder my prayers. That does not need to be one. I need to be sensitive to her. I need to be sensitive to her needs. I need to understand if she's upset or why she's upset or wanting to find out why she's upset. And because not only because I don't want my prayers hindered, but she is my helpmeet. She's the closest one to me apart from the Lord. Listen, I came from my mother and father, and we have married, and now the two have become one. She is now my family, even more so than my children. I need to make sure she's okay, because God put her in my charge, and he has said that, look, I am the priest of my home, and I better make sure my church, which is my first ministry, I better make sure that it's okay. Because if it's not, when God looks at me like he looked for Adam when they had sinned, and listen, even though Eve was in the transgression first, God came along and said, Adam, where art thou? Because if my home is in disarray and out of order, it's my fault. Either I let something go, either I didn't recognize something, it's still my fault. And God's going to come to me, and I need to make sure I'm right in regard to my first ministry, which is my home. He says in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. It says, love as brethren. He says, be pitiful. And listen, it's not talking about if your wife said, man, you sure are pitiful. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that we're to be pitiful, or some versions will say tenderhearted, and we ought to be. It says, be courteous. And look, in other words, we're to treat one another as family, because, guys, we are family. And listen, Christ's blood proves it. And the DNA of my blood naturally is one thing, but the DNA of my blood spiritually is going to be linked to yours. And the proof of that pudding is that we will all be in heaven together as believers because of the finished works and the shed work. Works of Jesus, and shed blood of Jesus Christ. He shed that blood for me. He shed it for you. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. And without me believing on that shed blood, I can never see heaven. And because I believe on that shed blood, and you believe on that shed blood, and we have been blessed to be the church, we are one family in Christ. And that's how God sees us. Amen. He says in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. He said, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.